Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Self-hate negates what we are by focusing the attention on what we're not. I'm talked into identifying with what's wrong with me. I am told that I have to meet standards that fix or change me, that make me better the way I should be, to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I have assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. This whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional, that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from the perfection of authentic nature and turned to an ego-maintaining, dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Assignment. Make a recording that allows you to be in touch with the perfection of the true nature that is you. Listen to this recording as a way of training to stay with the realization of true nature rather than falling for the negation of the self-hating conversation. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Becky from Pittsburgh.
Well, hello, Becky. What are you seeing?
Oh, my goodness. I'm only on here because yesterday you said that we don't have to have our thoughts together to get into the queue. So I'm taking
that's right.
I'm taking a really huge step here by not having my thoughts together and being in the queue. So here's the thing about me. I know that I fail at things because I try so many things that I might not have any business trying, like paramedic school at age 58, just things like that. And then I do a really horrible job, and everybody hates me. And so I'm at the point now where I'm sort of loving this stay in your house thing because I don't have to deal with people who don't like me, which there are plenty of people who just don't like me, and it's obvious. And
okay, Becky, let me stop you
yes,
right there,
ma'am.
Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Because what you're describing perfectly is what happens to folks when they follow ego around through life. So the thing that really doesn't like you is that negative voice inside your head, which exists inside all of our heads, okay? As long as we entertain it there. So that's what really doesn't like us. And it talks us into doing things that are going to get us what it's predicting for us that will prove that what it says about us is true.
Well, that's good to know because...
Yes, it is.
You know, I can't imagine, you know, what made me think that I could do this. And
well,
then
I can't
do it anyway. Okay.
I know exactly what made you think that. A voice inside your head. And what accompanies that voice that really trips us up is that there's an enthusiasm with it. There's an excitement with it. Yeah? There's oh, what a great yes. That's what I want to do. And if there's any little inkling of, really? Are you sure about that? Ego just runs right over the top of that, right? Because if we stop for a second and go, wait a minute. Is this physically, mentally, emotionally, is it a good fit right now? Then, of course, your heart, authenticity, you know, what we're learning to listen to, would say, maybe not, Becky. How else might you be able to contribute or participate that would be more in keeping with your inherent skill set? But ego doesn't want us to hear that, because if we do, we won't do the things, because I'm betting you have a pretty deep belief that people don't like you.
And
so how are you?
True.
How is? No, it is not. Because we believe something doesn't make it true, right? But what we what we get conned into is doing the things that will make it seem as if it's true. So that's the one I want you to watch for, okay? That's the one. Because the only way that we get that kind of ego-reinforcing information is inside our own heads. And so with people don't like me, the only people I'm going to be interested in hearing their opinion are people who I'm going to be able to believe don't like me. If there are people who do like me, well, there's probably something wrong with them, basically. Because why do they, right?
Yeah.
And so that the whole thing, yeah, the whole thing is just such a giant scam. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want an assignment? You want an assignment?
Sure.
Yes. Of course you do.
I
want you to start, I want you to go through the evidence in your life that there are people who like you and, in fact, love you.
Okay.
Okay? And then next time we talk, you'll let me know what you've seen.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, that's
thank
that's
you.
Because I just think I'm really, you know, well, you know what I think. All right.
Yeah. And you know what, Becky? I think that about ego, too. I think ego is a flawed, miserable invention. However, we are stuck with it until we see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All righty, then.
So happy.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Becky. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Becky. Sherry, there were two things there that really, really jumped out. The first one being that place of how excitement is used against us by ego to seduce us into doing something because excitement is supposed to be the right experience.
That's right. That's
right.
Exactly right.
And that, that overrides our intuitive sensing of what life might be saying to us in terms of appropriateness.
That's right. Because every addict knows the excitement of finally getting talked into, yeah, do that.
And the pleasure that comes from following that, the instant
hit. Absolutely.
Right?
That's right. Right up until it turns into misery.
Well, and the other thing that dropped in is, and you said it, I think, in the email class, and I've said it throughout practice, is the question about do you like yourself? Right? Because the ego is always going to respond with the negative.
Yes,
the
always.
Answer to that question has to be asked to true nature, right?
That's right. That's right. We have to ask love.
That's right. Exactly. And then the answer is the only accurate answer we could receive. And so to consult ego, whether it's internal or external, about what it thinks of us, it's just going to that wrong source. And ego doesn't like us. And so why would it ever answer anything else? And if I'm identified with it, how could I answer that question in any way other than no? Not only don't other people like me, I don't like myself.
Yes. Which is
why would it?
The big clue that we're identified with ego, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, this is Greta.
Hello, Greta. What are you seeing?
Hi. Hi. Well, it's just a pleasure to be practicing in this way with all of Sangha, because I just have this reinforcement that everything's okay no matter what's going on, no matter that, you know, all these things that for so many years I was told that there was something wrong with those, like, Well, whatever. It's just,
yes,
it's just so relaxing.
Yes. And, you know, Greta, what I was, you don't know, but I'm going to tell you, what I was looking at relative to that in that last conversation is how ego wants us to judge everything based on the same standards, when actually we have no idea, as life unfolds and people are moving through this process of waking up and ending suffering, we have no idea how far anybody needs to go, right? We don't know where they are or how far they need to go. And fortunately, it's none of our business. But just to have that sense that everybody is in the same place, you know, all of us doing the same process of identified with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, suffering horribly, getting a little glimmer of maybe there's another way, starting to move toward that light. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then as we keep practicing that reinforcement of the choice that is more helpful and more kind and more supportive, and to realize, as this recording points to, is that's all we ever were. All of this other stuff is horse pucky, as we like to say. And
yes,
all the time that we were believing one thing, the opposite was actually true.
Yes.
And it's just, it's so, I can't tell you how grateful I am for that. You know, it's like you said, it's a glimmer, but then the light actually, you know, comes in. And if we're lucky, after umpteen years of practice, maybe we're 25, 75, or 50-50, but it doesn't matter, because the moment we choose it, it's available, and it's just so reassuring.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And what I'm reminded of as you describe that is one of our standards, which is projection. So I'll often encourage people to look at who their heroes are. You know, who do you admire? Whose goodness can you see so clearly, right? And then just to remind ourselves, how do you know that? How are you having that experience? Well, you're having that experience because that's who you are, and you're recognizing it. And as Ashwini is fond of encouraging us, now we're calibrating to that. Now we are recognizing that, and that's the light that we're moving toward. We could say, even though the voices want to argue, more quickly and more quickly.
Yes, yeah, and that we have the great good fortune to have heroes out there, or things that we admire. They don't have to be people, right? So it's in so many ways, it's really nice to just watch the hummingbirds and go, oh, okay,
yes.
Well, yep.
Yep.
That's nature, and that's me, and yeah, nothing to do about any of it. We just get to
love is.
See it in experience. Yep, love is. And the one thing that I will say has just really become so much easier is, if as much as I love and care for this human, the loving and caring for other humans just follows. And all the time I've been told that I had to effort to be a loving person, that's just another realm of horse pucky, because as I have this experience of caring for this person, love is, as you said.
Yes. Yeah. There's no effort involved, right? What we have to stop, a la this, I think it's today, is stop focusing on what's not true.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And then what's true is just there. And as we get to see what is true, what is here is love. It's very relaxing.
Thank you so much, Sherry and Ashwini. It's just such a delight to practice together.
Well, you are just so very, very welcome. lovely getting to spend a little time with you.
Yes, a little time in love in the process.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks, Greta.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Greta. Well, I certainly feel that, Sherry. It's so material to this focus of participation that we participate in what is true nature as a way of experiencing mm-hmm. ourselves, right? Whether it's hummingbirds or Sangha, that what I'm part of is what I recognize. And my process is letting go of what I'm not, as a consequence mm-hmm. of which I realize what I am, right? And that wonderful thing that Greta said, that we're so conditioned to believe that we're not loving, and therefore we must be loving in order to receive love and be lovable, is exactly backwards.
Yeah.
That if I am
we
here,
are love.
Then we are love, from which love flows. Mm-hmm. And then that, then we participate appropriately, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the way to end that deep ego belief that there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when we experience that love, when we know that that love is what is, then it's obvious there's nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Kate.
Hello, Kate. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing how ego wants to say, until you're so unassailable in your skill set, you don't get to participate.
Ooh. In other words, Kate, you have to be better than everyone else before you can join us.
Correct.
Boy, that's ugly, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 I mean, it's oppression. Oppression.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so ugly when, you know, we're not meant to see it that way, right? It's just better than everybody else is how you have to be in order to be equal, in order to get a place at the table. But the better than everyone else is an awful thing to want to be.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't realized that.
Yeah, because that just makes everybody, I mean, isn't everybody else going to feel bad? I mean, you know, now here you've come, joined us, and now we have to feel like tutu because, here's finally, okay, there is the perfect person. It's really true. I mean, there really is something wrong with me. I'm not like her.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say to that.
It's sobering, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's, at least for me, that's why I love flawed heroes.
Mm. Tell me more.
Well, the people who you can see their journey.
Mm.
You can see the effort that they make, how they have to continue to choose moment by moment by moment what it is that, as we've been talking about, choose love moment by moment by moment. That it's not and the Buddha, you know, is one of the best examples of that. Right.
Right.
The constant choice for the love, for the in order to transcend the suffering of ego. So and at least I mean I could come up with a list as long as you are tall of people who fit that category they tend to be universal heroes. Because mm-hmm. we intuitively sense this is somebody like me doing what I need to do. Not perfect by ego standards, but attempting to perfect love.
Yeah.
In the sense of,
yeah,
you know, in like with your music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, practicing. We're practicing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really amazing. Because I had never seen it like that. Like, I mean, I see the, you know, the ego saying you can't participate or you can't criticize this system, let's say, until you're, you know, like I said, the only word that comes to mind is sort of unassailable, until you're such a master. Like, you don't get a voice. You don't get a seat at the table until you've mm-hmm. earned it and you've deserved it.
And the only way to do that is to be the very best.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But in becoming, in even if you were to achieve that, who would want that?
Oh, God, you'd be so obnoxious, we'd all hate you. We'd be back with the conversation with Becky. We truly would hate you. Because you would just stink of ego perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when we have a chance to be around somebody like that, we can smell it. But
yeah.
we that doesn't change that deep, deep belief that the only way to end something wrong is by meeting all of ego's standards. If you were just the perfect person, then none of this would be happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we just bring our flawed attempting to be as loving as we can be selves to the party, and there we all are. It helps us be compassionate and kind and patient and all of those things that we so admire and want.
Mm-hmm.
And are, actually, when voices aren't there.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been so great to see. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are so very welcome. Enjoy.
All right. Take care.
So happy.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kate. It's so fun, right? There's so much in that conversation, Sherry, for me. One being, of course, the obvious fact that we never get a seat at the table if we're going to wait till we're unassailable, right? That's how we are forbidden to participate in our own lives. And I love that contradiction of the perfection of true nature with the coupling of that word flawed, because we're There's nothing, I mean, there's really nothing wrong that we have egos, because that's the
right.
That's the flaw that we're told we have, right?
Uh-huh.
It's ego that's the flaw, and ego blames us for having that flaw. Otherwise, we'd be in a total state of enlightened bliss if we didn't choose the ego. But the whole process of selecting the perfection of true nature is the process that makes us what we are, right? We weren't born without egos, you know? It's just interesting, that dynamic of, I mean, the assignment we're on is the perfection of true nature, in touch with that which is flawless in some sense of the word, and yet that juxtaposition to just what you were pointing to.
Well, it's my own personal little theory that here on this planet, out at the edges of God knows what, this is our opportunity, all of us here, this is our opportunity to learn to choose unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it? I don't know, but it sure makes a lot of sense out of all of the, if this is a classroom, makes a lot of sense out of all the lessons.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we have time for one more caller, I believe. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh. Hi, it's Anna from Seattle.
Well, hello. What are you seeing, Anna?
Hi. Yeah, when you were just talking about that, I think that too, with the unconditional love, and that all of you think that, yeah, because I've had always kind of trouble accepting the way or liking the way I look in my face, because I don't know. And the other day I was also walking and thinking, well, if I really loved my profile and everything, it would be so easy. I mean, there would be no real love in it, you know. If everything was perfect, then it's easy to, in quotes, love, but it's not real love. So, yeah, unconditional love is different.
Mm-hmm.
If everything was perfect, it would be hard to unconditionally love.
Right. And I can't tell. Are you saying that's the belief, or that's the belief you saw through? Because that is what we are.
I appreciate it that, you know, I don't look like in quotes perfect, because then I wouldn't have the opportunity to learn uh-huh. to unconditionally love myself. You know, it would be...
Yes, her.
Yeah.
To love her.
Her.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that's such a, for me anyway, that language is so helpful in us stepping back and realizing, wait a minute, this is, you know, this human being is not my slave. I'm actually here to take care of her, to assist her in ending suffering. And so loving the authentic nature of her, recognizing that, seeing that, being that, that's our path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, the other thing that we can get to is that she is the perfect Anna.
Yeah.
There isn't another one, right? So she is our perfect one.
Oh gosh, yeah. And yesterday was my last day as a nanny, and now I'm off to who knows what.
Oh,
so it's kind of like into the unknown, as it always is.
Whoa.
But
yeah.
I feel like there is some kind of gap. I don't know. You know, I want to do the energy work, in the energy method. But I don't exactly know the steps to take. And I mean, it just feels like there's a little gap in from, you know,
right.
where I am
well,
to being where I want.
Here's my best encouragement. Take a hold of her hand and just see what now. Where are you now?
Yeah.
With exactly what we've been talking about. What a great opportunity to give all the time and attention to the unconditional.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, and in each moment, yeah. Yeah, and when
in
I
each
feel
moment.
Alone or, you know, that, I mean, that's not, I mean, right now I'm sitting in my car and, I mean, like everything, like when we talk to the inanimate, in quotes, inanimate object, like everything is, like I couldn't be alone, basically. If I
No. That is such an important insight, isn't it? It is not possible to be alone. It's a ridiculous notion. There is no possible way for us to be alone. Yay.
Yeah.
Now, how do you, right? Now, how do you really enjoy what is so? And which is the point of this focus, right? The participation. How do you now participate with all that is? Because you're not separate from it. You're smack dab at the center of it. And so how do you be with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Well, don't forget to have fun, okay?
Okay. I will keep asking questions.
Well, yes, Anna, ask questions, but don't forget to be very, very quiet and still as you listen for the responses.
Okay.
Yeah, they're probably not going to come in.
How to be still.
The what you're seeking is probably not going to appear in your head in full sentences. Okay? It's going to be much more subtle. And so now you have time and space really to listen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Go happy. All right.
Thanks. Go happy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Anna. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show. Sherry, here's our assignment for today. As you read over how suffering happens for you, can you get a sense of the karma behind this issue? What beliefs, assumptions, projections, behavior do you consistently choose that result in suffering? Example: I believe that I will not be able to stand the sensations that arise when someone is displeased with me, so I consistently choose not to do anything that would produce unpleasant feelings. As a result, I'm written out of my own life and end up with a smaller and smaller role to play in it. I'm constantly resentful that I don't get to say my piece and hate myself for being afraid to. My identity as a victim gets maintained. RL, what you see.
Wow. Woo! All right, here we go, huh?
All right.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.